Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Little lay of the land coming up on the show today. Chris Russell at 11. He's been in Richmond for us as one of our reporters covering the team here on the Fan. Get the latest on the Redskins. Charlie Slows. It's a Tuesday inside the Nats clubhouse with him. The latest on everything you care about with the club, including the timetable on a return for Steven Strasburg, who pitched at Potomac last night and was very effective in five clean innings. And big note here, probably should have mentioned this already a couple of times, Scott McLuhan's on the show today at 1.
Yes, sir.
Spread the word. We've had him on our show several weeks back and discussed everything that happened with the Redskins, the falling out. We're just going to talk football with him when he comes on today. So make note. 2 hours, 15 minutes from now, Scott McLuhan on these here airwaves.
Carry the two. Yes, that's correct.
That is correct. So that's the lay of the land today. Ezekiel Elliott is appealing a suspension today. He's going to try, according to reports, to play up the allegation that his accuser was actually harassing him, and that his allegation is that accuser told him, no one's going to believe you, I'm white, you're black. That accuser, his ex-girlfriend, told him she was going to ruin his career. Those are the legs he's standing on here, Danny. This fight's only getting started. The league had better be right here, though. You're talking about one of the faces of your outfit. One of the most popular players on one of the most popular teams in football. Roger Goodell's already viewed as a villain. He's taken on the Patriots. He's taken on the Redskins. He's taken on the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of go round the horn with the fan bases that hate this guy at this point.
Rightfully so.
Now it's the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. And if Ezekiel Elliott assaulted his ex-girlfriend, he deserves to be suspended for 6 games. But if they're wrong and the legal system, which decided not to charge Ezekiel Elliott, is correct because there isn't enough evidence or the person in question is not believable or a witness that you could even have on stand to tell her side of the story, the league's going to look the worst that it has probably in any of these situations. It's going to be a terrible blow for Roger Goodell. And honestly, if this thing backfires on him, it's going to be very costly for the league.
And especially because you've now alienated some of your top boys there among the ownership. So Robert Kraft is his buddy. Jerry Jones, that slime ball, is his top buddy. Now, both those guys are ticked off at you. They're not on speaking terms.
And Dan Snyder's not, obviously, as much one of his boys, but I can't imagine Dan Snyder has anything nice to say about Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, you still remember that Bruce Allen going in on Goodell and Mara and everybody else at that owner's meeting, that all the rich guys with their cognac were shocked and chagrined that happened. But so here's the NFL is, they can't get out of their own way. They're very insulated when they come to these kind of decisions. So they learned some lesson, it would seem, from the Ray Rice debacle where they undershot. Same thing with Josh Brown, right? Although there wasn't as much fervor over that one as there should have been, to be frank. But there you have it. So they undershot in terms of this punishment. They went way overboard this time. I fully expect this to get reduced. It'll get knocked down to 4 games or whatever. But they didn't want to come out as soft again because they couldn't get a witness to talk or kind of whatever else. And remember, their threshold for guilt is infinitely less than what a court of law would be. See Brady as an example, where they, basically their standard was, yeah, science can't prove that what we say happened. In fact, it proves the exact opposite happened, but we got some text messages and some hearsay, so he's suspended, and we'll fight tooth and nail because it's in the CBA. This could get very awkward. You're absolutely right. The difference here in this case, as I've talked about a bunch of times, is they have a cooperative witness. They didn't with Greg Hardy. They didn't with Ray Rice. They didn't with Josh Brown's wife, et cetera. This girl, in this case, talked to them, and that's the big difference. That's why they've got this stuff against Ezekiel Elliott. But regardless of how this case works,
but he's now going to try to drag her down and basically say nothing she says is believable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to get ugly, uglier than it already has, to be frank. And it's something that I don't envy anybody in this circumstance. I'm with you. If he did it, punish his butt. If he didn't, This is pretty terrible, too.
NFL.com, Ian Rappaport, who's the insider at NFL Network, wrote this. A portion of Elliott's argument, according to those familiar with how he's going to present it, revolves around the credibility of the alleged victim. Elliott's going to attempt to show that the NFL suspension did not accurately weigh that factor, basically that she's not credible. According to documents obtained by NFL.com, Elliott actually filed an official incident report alleging harassment with Frisco police in Texas on September 5th, 2016 against Tiffany Thompson, identified by the league as the alleged victim. So back in September, just before the start of his rookie season last year, he apparently reported harassment against the ex-girlfriend. This report details that police were dispatched to Elliott's house because he received, quote, 50-plus phone calls from his ex-girlfriend between 2:39 a.m. and 10 a.m. She called from a blocked number, and Elliott answered several times, he told police, informing Thompson she was not supposed to be calling him, per the report. Elliott provided a written statement of the incident to police. Reported the claim one day before Columbus police announced it would not press charges against Elliott, although the incident happened 2 days before that. So the league found something that they didn't legally. Now, Sean Sharif's been on the station a couple times. He does morning radio 105.3, our sister station in Dallas.
Right.
He's actually from the area, Skins fan, good dude, and a buddy of ours. He came on with me last week when you were at the beach. He came on with Chad. I heard him yesterday, and he asked me the same question he asked Chad. And in both of these appearances, Sean said, let me ask you this. Why is it and what does it say that the league apparently has better lawyers than we do as a legal system because they were able to find things and find evidence that the league didn't? I don't think they found evidence. Not that the law didn't. I don't think the league found extra evidence. What people have to understand is there's differing ways of pressing charges and being convicted and then getting fired, in other words, or getting kicked out of work for a week. The civil findings don't have to be as strong as a legal finding.
Yeah, it's a way lower threshold.
The wranglings to go to jail or to be, when you're actually charged with something, brought to court to have to present your case are way more arduous. Evidence has to be way more substantial than for 106.7, the fan to just kick me out for a week because someone's saying I did something wrong. They're allowed to do that. You could get fired at work for something that isn't illegal. You could get fired at work for something you did where you're not actually going to be in trouble in a court or the rule of law. So I don't really think that holds up. I mean, the people that say the league shouldn't be able to get upset at Ezekiel Elliott if he's not found guilty in the court of law, I don't agree with that thinking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I understand it. Yeah, no further comment on that. I'm with you on that front.
What do you mean no further? Like, so you agree?
Yeah, I would simply say, like, because we went down an ugly road where something, well, this guy was innocent. Well, was he? Or did he? Or did Greg Hardy pay the girl that was assaulted not to say anything?
Yeah. Or just, I mean, sometimes things aren't admissible. Like, how many times have you watched documentaries or things where someone said, yeah, if we could have showed this fact, if we could have presented this, he definitely would have been convicted, but we weren't allowed because of Section 2, Article 7. The system of courts and justice is crazy.
Yeah, and it goes in both directions, of course. Innocent folks going to prison and then the opposite guy's getting free. How do you think it affects the division, ultimately? Let's say, for the sake of argument, he's out four games.
Giants win the division.
I think the Giants win the division regardless. And I've said that from the beginning, even before I knew about the suspension.
Yeah, I think them and Dallas probably were going to have the same record because they play week one without Elliott. That's a Giants win now, so maybe they would have edged them out. But I think Dallas was as good as New York, frankly. I now think the Giants win the division, and Dallas is fighting to fend off either Washington or Philly, whichever team gets hot, and wins 8 or 9.
I think we're going to see that Elliott is a tad overrated. I think we're going to see that. I think just the parade of guys that they've had rush for 1,000 yards behind that incredible offensive line is going to let you know that, oh, yeah, they'll be fine. The problems aren't necessarily because they will or won't have Elliott. He'll be fresh down the stretch, be back in the saddle, whether it's week 5, week 6, week 7 against the Redskins, etc. They'll still be able to run the ball. The problem is going to be with this more difficult schedule than they've had. They're probably, according to NumberFire, got the 7th or 8th toughest schedule in the league, top 5 according to some other folks. That's going to regress. They're going to make Dak Prescott make more plays. I don't think he will. And the defense has to come back down to earth at least a little bit.
The defense will come back down to earth.
So to me, I think the Elliott suspension is a little bit overwrought in terms of that's going to cost them the division. I think the schedule being tough, people are going to make Elliott the story.
They'll be able to run the ball fine because their offensive line is the best in football, to your point. He's not overrated. I mean, Darren McFadden is nowhere near what he is. Darren McFadden might run for 1050, 1100, something like that. Ezekiel Elliott's going for 1650. I mean, there's a big difference. There's a big drop-off there. That said, I'm with you. I think they'll run the ball still just fine. They're just not going to be at the same level. But I don't know how you can look at that team without Elliott for a substantial part of the season and not think they're a lot worse than they were because of how much more is going to be put on Dak Prescott's plate for the first time. He's going to have to grow up quick. Chris Russell was in Richmond. We'll get the latest on the Redskins. When is Josh Doctson, Jamison Crowder going to be on the field? Who's going to go this week that didn't last week? Will we see Junior Gallette? How much time for Kirk Cousins, who told us he expects to play extensively against the Packers? We'll cover all of that with Russell next. Remember, Scott McLuhan is on Grant and Danny today at 1 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.